Communications Manager at Board of Health Funders. We are discussing the role, Zola, of the private sector in the National Health Insurance, NHI. Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Right, as government progresses towards implementation or implementing the National Health Insurance, this morning we look at the role the private sector can play in this field. Zola, I know this is not your competency a great deal just to unpack the NHI, but the little that you know and understand of the NHI, what is it all about? When did we start with the NHI?
Well, NHI has been around, the debate around NHI. Government started investigating years back.
Yeah.
And right now, last year, the Minister of Health released the NHI white paper, which is ushering in NHI. So that's why now it's very topical. Everybody's talking about it. And as the private sector, BHF represents medical schemes. So we are also interested in this, and we would like to participate.
Right, because I know that there were trials at district levels that started around about 2012, 2013.
Yes.
And I'll be looking at that particular report, and perhaps we'll invite the minister to talk to us about that.
Yes.
So you're saying that the private sector is interested in seeing NHI work?
Yes, we are interested, despite popular belief.
Yeah.
I think the private sector, we've been around for quite some time, and the capabilities that we have, the resources that have gone in at the moment, when you look at the private sector, I would say it's one NHI scheme at the moment, and we've been doing it for a long time. In South Africa at the moment, we've got a two-tiered system. We've got the public sector, and the public sector services 80% of the population. The private sector services only 16%. And in terms of health spend at the moment, Minister is spending approximately 120 billion for 80% of the population. Private sector is spending almost the same. So there's so many inequalities at the moment. And I think the whole point around NHI is to merge the two systems into one.
Is it possible, though?
Well, the whole point, I think what's important that we really need to focus on is that we really need to make it work. If you think about that, the rest of the population in South Africa doesn't have good health care. There are pockets in government that are quite good, but they're very stretched thin.
Yeah.
If you look at the budget that they're spending and what we're spending in the private sector, we have to merge the two. And what we're saying is that we've got capabilities within our system, and there's lots of things that are working. I know there's, you know, in the private sector, healthcare has become unaffordable. I'm sure with your medical aid, you've heard people complaining, my premiums are very expensive. So in both systems, there are things that are not working. And the only way is for us to unite and make this work, and especially for our kids. I think that's the important, I think that's the common interest that we all have, that
yeah,
we have to build a system that's going to be good enough for our kids.
You know, there's an argument that the private sector is saying that they would want to see the NHI work, but deep down they know that they don't want that, number one. Number two, they know for sure that it will never work in the public sector because of the enormous challenges that are faced by the public sector. So you're just, you know, paying a lip service in suggesting that we want to be partners, we want this to work.
I think we have to partner. I think we've reached a point where we have no choice. So think about it. At the moment, the public sector, very stretched thin. They don't have the resources in terms of human resources, the doctors. We're not producing enough doctors. On the other hand, the private sector, it's not growing. It has been 8.7 million lives for a long time. We're not bringing in the low-income earners into the system. So
because there's no will on your side to bring in people who are not going to keep up with the cost of medical aids, for instance.
I don't think it's a matter of no will. I think the willingness is there. It's just become unaffordable. And all we're saying from our side, and I'm speaking from an industry body point of view,
yeah,
and something that I'm very passionate about, is that we really need to make it work. And we have to forge ahead. There are pockets of people that are the noisemakers who make it seem that the private sector doesn't want to be involved. But where I come from, in terms of the BHF policy, we are pushing that we need to partner with government and make it, and make this work. That, you know, we both need to come together. Yeah. And from our board, I must tell you, they are all passionate about it.
0891-104-207, that's the number to call. Let me take Charles in Cape Town quickly. Charles, good morning.
Good day, your guests and yourself. I just want to ask your guests, isn't the reason why they want to suddenly come on onto the bandwagon is because healthcare is becoming ridiculously expensive. People are actually preferring not to take out health insurance and take the risk of, you know, saving that money and then, what you call it, paying out of pocket for any medical expenses. Because the medical industry is actually in dire financial straits. And I believe that is the only reason why there's a sudden turnaround on the industry. Can your guest please elaborate on that?
Okay, she will. Thank you very much, Charles in Cape Town. Mike in Newlands?
Bongi, good morning to you and good morning to your guest. Are you well?
Morning. I'm good. And you?
Thanks, good, Bongi.
Sure.
I'm not going to go on too long, but I've got a long list in my head of the total inadequacies and incompetence of the healthcare system we have at the moment. South Africa is littered with examples of how poor the healthcare is for our poor and for the average South African. I can just look, there's no oncologist in Germany. Machines are breaking down. Cancer patients take up to 3 or 4 years to get treated. You know, I can just go on. I mean, the 90-plus health patients who died and starved to death. And by the way, of course, there's never any consequences. Now, I do pay into a medical health. So do my kids. They pay an absolute fortune. It runs into thousands and thousands of rand. But I would hate to think that I would now get involved in a health system run by the current government. It's not about getting involved. I disagree with the lady completely. We must stay well away from that. That animal is run by incompetent people, by cadres, for themselves. It's not run for the people. It's a complete disaster, and we must not get involved in it. I think we've got a people who, and I pay a lot of money. I can't really afford it, but I pay it anyway because I want the security of a good medical health care. I do not want to get roped into something that is run for the benefit of the party of the day, in this case, the ANC and the minister, and people who are not held accountable. At all. I think it's a bad idea. Thanks very much, Bongi.
Thanks, Pramike in Newlands. I think the minister will disagree with you there, will differ with your opinion that you know, he's not doing well there. I think he will suggest to you that he's got this. He's running with it. It's 27 minutes to 10. This is the Morning Talk here on SFM 104-107. I'll come to you, Tsepo, in a short while.
Are you afraid of some animal or challenge and wanted to help you overcome it in a fun-filled way? Well, Matthias and myself invite you to join us on a fun-filled adventure that might also cure your fear and change your world. You don't have to be young, fit, or even strong, only want to live a little. Go to www.sabc2.co.za and you could partake in our next authentic adventure.
Bongi Gwala on SAFM.
Tsepo Komahikeng, good morning. Tsepo?
Hello. Hi, Bongi, how are you?
Hi, go ahead, my man. I'm good.
Good, thanks. For a small question for your guest. So she was alluding to the fact that, I mean, the growth in the private medical industry has been sitting at 8.7%. Continuously, so they have not seen a lot of growth. But, I mean, speaking from an industry point of view, could it have something to do with the fact that the private medical industry is actually bullying smaller players into participating into the industry? Because, I mean, obviously then that would compensate for whatever losses it is that they might be experiencing at the current form. Because it hasn't changed, there hasn't been any form of feasible growth. I mean, for the mere fact that they have been established, you would think that they would have a big market. But if they're not, it would be because that there is no tangible growth that is being afforded to smaller companies out there. If she could just touch on that, yeah. Thank you, Bongi.
All right, thanks, Tsepo in Mahikeng. There you have it. Do you want to attempt to answer, Zola?
Okay, I'm not quite sure which question to tackle.
Go ahead.
Okay. In terms of the first question that came through, they asked that we all of a sudden interested in NHI, and I beg to differ in the sense that from an industry point of view, we have been participating through submissions to into government, lobbying with government to make sure that whatever they put across in terms of the white paper, it does incorporate the system. One thing that people need to be aware of is that government can come and legislate and say, they can do whatever they want. Whether we want to participate or not, I think the question is, can we afford not to participate? If we don't participate, they're going to run with it, and what's going to happen? So if whatever laws that they bring in, we have to make sure they incorporate the current system at the moment. So I think that's the important factor, is that they can legislate and say, we don't want you guys here, or whatever, you know, depending on how we've lobbied government. But I think it's very important that we all participate. And it's a government decision. They've made the decision. It's too late to go back. And it's a global phenomenon in terms of WHO, is that by 2030, most countries should be working towards universal health care. And South Africa was one of those countries that signed that agreement at WHO.
So what's been government's response to your move, to your interest to be part of this?
I think we've received very good feedback. We've had several meetings with the DG and the health minister in terms of lobbying and making sure where can we fit in terms of our current capabilities. So I think so far it has been positive. We all, I think, getting excited about it. That's why our conference is deemed Private Sector Embracing Universal Healthcare. It's trying to showcase where can we converge and how can the private sector evolve in this transitional phase. How can we work together? There's quite a lot of things that we need to do in our own space in preparation for NHI. So whether we like it or not, I think it's not a question whether – I don't think we've got an option at the moment. I think it's going to happen whether we like it or not, and we're saying we want to be part of it.
That conference, by the way, is happening from the 16th to the 19th of July 2017 at the Cape Town Convention Center, bringing together healthcare experts and leaders from around the world.
Yes.
Case studies on country experiences will be presented by speakers from the US, Kenya, Ghana, Croatia, and so on and so on. So we'll be covering that in great detail here on SABC, particularly SAFM. So, you want to participate, I think that's what Sepo was saying, you want to participate because the numbers are not adding up in the private sector. You said yourself that you're not growing, you're servicing about 8.7 million, and you want to reach 10 million, 15 million of people who are in the private health care, so to speak. Let me ask you the question then. To participate in the health, in the national health care, means what? What kind of a role do you see yourselves play as the private sector?
So if you look at the current system at the moment, like the previous caller alluded, he is happy in terms of what his medical aid is supplying. So think of that at a larger scale. We can meet each other halfway and use some of the efficiencies that we've created. It's not perfect, but I think we are doing well. And that's all we're saying, is that can we meet each other halfway? Can we use the current resources? Don't create systems. We've invested a lot of in systems in terms of paying your claims. When you go to a pharmacy at the moment, it's all live. And these are systems that we have already. So why would you want to recreate something new, yet the systems are already in the system? So I think the important thing that people need to be aware of is that we have to think about the rest of the population. At the moment, 16% is not good enough, that they're getting, you know, better, you know, health benefits. We have to think 80% that it's stretched.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're saying better, not great, because I'm not happy with my medical aid. I've had to downgrade because they do it so cleverly. They on a particular scheme, they give you this and they take away that, and you get into another particular scheme, they take away that, they give you that. So
just to come in there, one thing that people don't know is that medical schemes are not for profit. They don't make any profits. At the moment, if you're closer to the issues, you will understand. And they are stretched thin. It's becoming very unaffordable. We're coming up with other alternative reimbursement models in terms of how can we make sure healthcare is affordable. So there's quite a lot that's hitting the medical aid industry and in making it very hard to offer good benefits, comprehensive benefits. So we're both struggling. It's just that... you know, we're servicing a smaller population, and all we're saying is that let's come together and improve the inefficiencies in both systems.
Servicing a smaller population at 120 billion rand, and the government as well servicing a larger population at 120 billion
rand. That's so unfair.
It's really unfair.
Very unfair. So I think I'm personally very passionate when you think, because I've had family that... you know, go to a state facility and at times they don't get the greatest of services. And then you think, well, does that mean because that person deserves less than me? It doesn't mean that. So we both, it's a right. We have rights to access good, equitable, affordable healthcare. It's all our rights. So
universal health is what we're talking about. Dikela in King Williamstown. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, man.
Hi.
You know, my contribution to this, I think it's a fairly good idea what this NHA is for. You know, the other day, some time ago, I took my wife to a private hospital, and she lay there for 2 months. Then I took her out to the public hospital. Immediately, she was cured of what she had. I think this is a good idea, and I'm paying exorbitant money for medical aid.
I know.
I wish that this thing could go through, Minister. I really wish so. And you can also, there is also another way we can finance this thing. All government employees can contribute towards that, because we are under government. Then I think it will succeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Etikela in King Williamstown. Dr. D. Polokwane, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, sir.
I'm well. I have a question to the lady, because I have a very big problem. You see, the issue with medical aid is that they are grossly unregulated, even though, yes, we have the Council of Medical Aid Schemes, but the legitimacy and also the rationalizing of their work can be grossly questioned. Now, a lot of people are under the illusion that when they have medical aid, they actually have access to cover, which is a false impression that they create, because patients actually come to us, and you'll find that medical aids don't cover for even some of the basic, your PMBs, your very, very basic of medication. Patients still need to pop out of pocket, and that is really, really unfair. And medical aids always increase their prices. It is not inflation related. When they say it's non-for-profit, yes, I agree. According to legislation, they are non-for-profit. But a lot of the funds actually goes to administrators, people that don't add value in the process. It doesn't go to the doctors. It doesn't go to the hospital. It actually goes to the administrators of the medical aid schemes, which is really unfair, and the agents as well. So people need to be told the truth, and given the true value of what they're getting, because a lot of people are under the illusion that they have medical aid. It gives them access to health care, which is a very false illusion.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. D. in Polokwane. Khojane Madiba in Kroonstad.
How are you?
I'm fine, sir.
A quick one. I want to find out why the medical aid, despite knowing that the person has done a surgery not to have kids anymore, why do they still put the money for that process, as if the person is still going to give birth, and yet he has or she has gone to an operation that she never had a kid, some kids before. Why do they still, you know, put that money as if that is going to happen in future?
Okay. Hojane, thank you very much in Kroonstad. We'll come back to answer these questions. But just one SMS. In the UK, the wealthy are still able to pay privately in upmarket private clinics should they wish to. Will this be the case in South Africa? That's Kay in Bloemfontein.
What's happened to the life insurance policies you bought over the years? The ones to provide for your family when you're gone? The ones to see you through retirement? When last did you check if they are still in force and what they are worth? Finding out used to be a hassle. Now, an online search engine gives you a full report for free. It's called Verify. Verify with an I. For more, go to verify.co.za.
Catch all the half-time whistles and full-time glory, all the slide tackles and knee slide goal celebrations, the lineups and the countdowns, all the free kicks when you catch all the champions in the 2017 FIFA Confederations Cup in Russia, live on your favorite SABC radio station from June the 17th to July the 2nd. Choose your champions and get your kicks.
This is all for the love of the game.
Want to own a business and you're not sure where to start? You'll find all the answers you need at the Franchise Business Festival at the Kyalami Expo and Convention Center from the 30th of June to the 2nd of July 2017. TB Licenses invites you to join us and discover new ways to give your business the edge it needs. Stand a chance to win one of two Dell tablets when you pay or renew your TB license at this year's Franchise Business Festival. TB Licenses, keeping you up to date with all your franchising needs. Hashtag made possible by you.
Morning Talk, where nothing's left unsaid. SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader.
Zola Mchia is a communications manager at Board of Health Funders. We're talking about the private sector participating in the NHI. As we're wrapping up, Zola, I want us also to look at the conference that is coming up. But first, do you want to respond to some of the calls?
I'll try. Yeah. It's a very difficult one. And I'm happy that people called in and complained. And I think it just speaks to why we really need some reform. We need to reform the two systems. We need to reform and try and create better efficiencies in the system. And one of the biggest things is that schemes in terms of preparing for NHI, we need to invest more on member education, because I think that's the biggest thing. And most people don't understand the medical aid environment. It's a very complex one. And I can tell you right now, schemes are not out there to rip you off. It's balancing a lot of things, making it affordable and making it sustainable. So from our end, we also struggling. And we're trying to create better value, better efficiencies for the medical scheme member.
It doesn't feel that way. It feels like you're out there to rip us off. But
No, we don't.
In a minute, as we're wrapping up, let's look at the conference that is coming up there.
Yes.
Yeah, what's happening there?
So we are very excited about the conference which is taking place from the 16th to the 19th.
Yes,
it is. At the moment, we've got 1,000 delegates registered so far. And this consists of different sectors within healthcare, and we converge every year. This is our 18th conference, we're excited because that's where most of the discussions in terms of driving change within the industry takes place. And the theme this year is private sector embracing universal healthcare. And you'll see from the program, we've got speakers from USA. She's going to come and share in terms of the Obamacare, some of the mistakes that happened there. And I think the reason why we brought in so many countries to come and share their experiences is that there's lots to learn and lots to teach.
Yeah.
And we want that. We want to learn and we want to start the conversation in terms of how can we really make a difference in terms of this move towards universal healthcare. It's a positive conversation that we want to have. We want to stimulate people to start thinking more positively instead of the negative. It's not going to happen. How are we going to pay for it? We have to all participate.